So quarantining and social distancing finds itself in the Bible, and once again, to underscore, it is an act of loving your neighbor as yourself.
Our country has become more focused on health during this COVID-19 crisis. We understand the need to stay healthy physically and mentally, but our spiritual health is more important. Today on Connect with Skip Heitzig, Skip shares how you can build up your spiritual life. But first, we want to share about an exciting resource that will help you dig deeper into the book of Revelation.
Predicting the future with 100% accuracy? No one but God is even close to being able to make that claim. And yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
I want you to think of prophecy as being an aspect of one of God's great attributes. God is omniscient. He knows everything. And because he is omniscient, one of the aspects of his omniscience is that he knows the future in advance and can write about it, can predict it through his prophets in graphic detail.
Take the guessing game out of the future with Skip Heitzig's newly reprinted book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation, now including helpful illustrations and a study guide. Get your copy when you give a generous gift of $35 or more to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig. Just call 800-922-1888 to give today. That's 800-922-1888 to give today. Or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. That's connectwithskip.com/offer.
Now, here's Skip Heitzig with today's teaching.
You know, our world looks a little bit different. I mean, the public places, the familiar sights that you're used to seeing around the world this week look like this. This is Disneyland, completely vacant of people. Usually it's wall to wall. Look at this next shot. Here's a picture of London. This is Trafalgar Square. Usually every time I'm there, it is elbow to elbow. People are just crammed in there. Now it's empty. That's London. Here's a Los Angeles freeway. Now, I'm from this area. Even when I was a young child, the freeways never looked like this. And I don't know when this was taken, but that's just, it's empty. Here's a shot of Paris over by the Louvre, one of the bridges going over the Seine River. Again, usually wall-to-wall people, now empty. Here's a shot of St. Peter's Square at the Vatican, almost completely empty. There's a few stragglers out there, but, you know, Italy's had some problems, as we know, a little more. We need to keep that in prayer. And here is a shot of Las Vegas. This is the Strip in Las Vegas just a few days ago. It's insane. So I think that's all the pictures we have. But this is the world now as we know it. All these places have been designed to accommodate people, groups of people. They all have the mass meeting in mind, but now we're down to groups of five or less, or even two or less in some countries. And everybody's talking about quarantining and self-quarantining. So I want to bring a message to you tonight called The Quarantined Life. And I kind of wanted, what I want to do in this topical study is give you sort of a biblical theology of quarantining. Now, let me say that I know a little bit about quarantining because when I was a teenager, my father actually quarantined me in my room because I did something really bad. I won't even tell you what I did. It's really not germane to this study. But he thought that I needed to be punished. And one of the few things he put into place was a full 1 month quarantine in my room. I could only go out to go to the restroom, had to go back in the room. All my meals were just brought to me like a little tray, like I was a prisoner. But you're thinking, boy, I want to find out what he did because that was pretty bad. It was pretty bad what I did. But I was quarantined. I was in lockdown for a whole month. That was during the summer when I was a teenager. We discover our world is very different. Everybody all the time says to me, this is surreal. I can't believe this is happening. This is like reading a sci-fi script. And what this is causing is some Christians to sort of try to figure this out prophetically and find out where we are. Are we in the book of Revelation? Is this the tribulation period? I've had people suggest that we are experiencing some of what is predicted in the book of Revelation and last time events like Revelation 13. This is the Antichrist about ready to be revealed, who can control the whole world and the mark of the beast. Let me just say this is not Revelation 13. This is more like Leviticus 13, which I'm going to explain in a minute. But that should lead us to practice 1 Corinthians 13, which says, love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own.
Yeah.
Now, there have been some pretty famous periods of quarantining, both in our country, the United States, as well as Europe and other places. For example, I've told you before in the last few weeks about the bubonic plague during the Middle Ages that hit Europe, it actually hit Asia, Europe, North Africa, but I talked about in Europe, it killed so many people. And so what happened is because it is believed that people were bitten by fleas that came from a disease rats had and spread this bubonic plague across Europe, so that ships arriving from Venice, Italy, to different seaports in Europe were kept under lockdown, quarantined for a period of 40 days out at port before disembarkation, before they could land and people could go aboard. Then when the United States was first established and states were given much more authority by the federal government even than we enjoy today. And because of that, states did not monitor infection rates. There was an outbreak of disease called yellow fever at the time, forcing the Congress to mandate quarantine laws at a federal level. That was back in 1878. Moving a little bit closer to today, there was in New York City in 1892 a typhus fever outbreak that hit the Lower East Side that spread through the boarding houses, and quarantine measures had to be put in place. There was another outbreak of the bubonic plague in San Francisco, California in 1900, and an entire 12-block section of Chinatown was shut down and quarantined. Then, probably the most famous pandemic next to this one is what happened in 1918 with the Spanish influenza, the Spanish flu, but by the way, killed 50 million people in the United States and Europe. That's only a century ago. Quarantine laws were put into place. Schools were closed. Public gatherings were forbidden, very similar to what we are experiencing now. And then there were famous people that were caught in quarantines. Mark Twain is one of them. He was in Europe, and he was visiting Europe in 1866 when a cholera outbreak took place. He was in Italy. He was on his way to the Holy Land. It's written about in a terrific book, by the way, that he wrote called Innocents Abroad. I recommend it to you. If you're shut down, you want to find out what traveling to Israel, the Holy Land, was like during Mark Twain's day, read Innocents Abroad. But he talks about going through Europe on his way there. And because of this outbreak of cholera, he was aboard a ship in Naples Harbor for almost 2 weeks, almost a 14-day period where he was quarantined. So all of that is a setup to where we are now, because this is now our present reality. So what I want to do as much as possible is give to you, in the light of that, a biblical perspective, because there is a biblical perspective. The Jewish people have a long history of self-isolation, beginning with their own Exodus, which is celebrated next month in Passover. So it goes all the way back to that period. And then a little bit later on, Moses acted really as the first public health official along with the priesthood. And I want to explain that tonight. Here's why it's all foreign to us as believers. As believers, fellowship, being together, is one of our cardinal values. It is so foreign for us not to be together. We're to share life with one another. So because of that, proximity is a necessity. Did you know in the Bible, in the New Testament, the term one another appears over 60 different times? So one another, one another, one another. It's how we do life, including the love feast, where they would get together, they would share a common meal, and they would break bread of communion. In fact, the Bible says all the way back in Genesis chapter 2, it is not good that man should be alone. Not good that man should be alone. And yet we find ourselves in the exception to the rule. It's not good that man should be alone, but right now it is good. So that's the exception to the rule. The rule is Not good that man should be alone. The exception is, be alone. So there are exceptions to rules, by the way, in the Bible. Here's another exception to a rule. There's a rule that says, it is appointed unto every man once to die. But there are exceptions to that. There are some people who die twice. For instance, Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, had to die again. Jairus' daughter, raised from the dead, had to die twice. So that's an exception to a rule. Not good that man should be alone. Right now, it is good in the foreseeable future that we are alone. So I want to look at this in a few different ways. First of all, to quarantine is biblical, number one. Number two, to quarantine is beneficial. And number three, to quarantine is practical. I want to show you that from this topical biblical method. First of all, to quarantine is biblical. Next month, as I mentioned, is Passover season. For us, it's Easter, but the Jewish people celebrate the Passover. They're celebrating a great deliverance that God made thousands of years ago, as the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, and they went through the desert, and they were given a new land. During that period of time, God afflicted their enemies with a number of plagues, including a disease, an outbreak on their animals, on their cattle, these plagues that hit them. And Passover, think about it, was a one-day mandatory quarantine. They had to go inside their house, and the Bible says, none of you shall go out of the door of his house. If they wanted to be safe from this death plague that was coming to all the firstborn, they had to stay inside. So it was a one-night mandatory quarantine. Then later on, as God gave them laws for managing health and managing doing life together as a community, he gave in their health laws a quarantine for certain diseases. Very strict quarantine laws. Why? All based on love your neighbor as yourself. It's one of the dictums even of the Old Testament law. So he gave quarantine laws. Leviticus chapter 13 is where we find that. And there's a mandatory, get this, 14-day quarantine for those who have certain conditions of a certain kind of leprosy, if they tested positive. And in Leviticus 13, I'm reading from, it goes like this. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of the sons of the priests. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of his body, and if the hair on the sore is turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. And indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine him again on the seventh day, and indeed, if the sore has faded and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. So, if he tested positive, if it was a presumptive positive, as we like to say today, he was unclean after this 7 and then another 7, 14-day test. Now, once he was positive, he would have to shout out when he got near a crowd of people. He had to self-isolate. He had to shout out, unclean, unclean, so the crowds would see him and go the other way. So the priests in Leviticus 13 became, in effect, custodians of public health, which is pretty progressive for 1,500 years before Christ. You know, this is way before what we know in medical science. This is just what God mandated back then. A little background. If you go through Leviticus 13 and it kind of seems weird to you, it's because we call it leprosy. That's the translation in the English Bible. But it is believed that we're dealing with a variety of skin diseases in this chapter, some less serious and then some more serious. The more serious is what we would call Hansen's disease or leprosy. It was called living death. It might begin as a little bit of a pain or a sore, then an oozing sore. Eventually, people lost hands and arms and legs, and they just slowly ebbed away and died away. So that's leprosy in the Old Testament. That's quarantining in the Old Testament. Then the Old Testament laws were sort of expanded upon later on in Jewish literature. The Mishnah gave rules for triaging those with leprosy and sexually transmitted diseases. There were books and chapters written about how to quarantine, when to quarantine, how to confirm a case as positive or negative, how to declare somebody clean, eventually to be integrated back into the community. So that's leprosy. That's infectious skin diseases in the Old Testament. There was one of the kings of Israel that came down with leprosy named King Uzziah. And it says in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 21, King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. So he had to be quarantined, self-quarantined, living alone till the day of his death. By the time we get to the New Testament, we also see leprosy. We know that our Lord Jesus is very compassionate, even on those who suffered this worse fatal disease called leprosy. And he was in contact with those who had it. But we find that leprosies in the New Testament also practiced social distancing. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus, on his way up to Jerusalem, in the 12th verse, we are told, as he entered a village, 10 leprous men stood at a distance and met him. That's how they met him, at a distance. They didn't walk up to him and give him a hug or a high five or a holy kiss. They stood at a distance. Jesus healed them, and then one of them came back to give thanks, and the other 9 did not. So quarantining and social distancing finds itself in the Bible, and once again, to underscore, it is an act of loving your neighbor as yourself. Let me remind you, we were in Leviticus 13. Let me remind you of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great love chapter. He says in verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. We find ourselves in unusual circumstances where we learn to apply the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 to a situation similar to Leviticus chapter 13. Showing love by isolating ourselves so that others don't get this disease. Now, there's another chapter 13. It's not Revelation 13. I said it's more akin to Leviticus 13. We talked about 1 Corinthians 13, but there's another famous 13th chapter. That is Romans chapter 13, where the Bible squarely says that God has given to civil authorities his own authorities. So it says the authority that exists are appointed by God. What does that mean? It means that when Christians follow government regulations and medicinal regulations, that is not an expression of unbelief. Rather, that is an application of love and obedience. It's a simple equation. The flatter the rate of viral infection, the smaller number of people that get killed. So that's where we come in. We can help that. So the coronavirus Once again, let's kind of go through the 13s. The coronavirus isn't about Revelation 13. It's more like Leviticus 13. So let's act according to 1 Corinthians 13 until Romans 13 runs its course, right? That kind of is the formula for all this. Romans 13, verse 1 and 2. Let everyone be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. So, to quarantine is biblical. That's number one. Number two, to quarantine is beneficial. We've got more time on our hands. We're forced to stay home. Many of us have jobs where the job has closed, the restaurant has closed, the business has closed. You're wondering about your next paycheck. You're wondering about the future. You're wondering about your retirement, all of those things. But let's just think of the short term. You have more time on your hands, which can be good, even if you find yourself alone. Let me explain that. Throughout church history, throughout church tradition, there have been what are called spiritual disciplines. Throughout history for the last 2,000 years, especially in the earlier part of the church, they took activities of life and they put them into a couple of different categories called disciplines. There was one category called disciplines of engagement. There's another category called disciplines of abstinence. So in disciplines of engagement, it's things like a prayer, study, a service to your fellow believer. Then there's disciplines of abstinence. So things like fasting, chastity, and solitude is one of the early church disciplines. So Dallas Willard, in his great book on this, says, and I'm quoting, "Of all the disciplines of abstinence, solitude is generally the most fundamental in the beginning of the spiritual life, and it must be returned to again and again as that life develops." Let me explain what he's talking about. The very foundation of what we call our quiet time comes from this discipline of solitude. We get alone. There's no distraction. There's no competition. We isolate ourselves, if you want to use the term. We self-quarantine, that we might hear God's voice and find out how he wants us to live. Yeah. So, besides medical reasons and social reasons, let me give you four benefits of being quarantined. First of all, physical restoration. It can restore you physically. When we shut down external stimulation, we get renewed physically. Do you remember when Jesus, in his Galilean ministry and his disciples, he was going everywhere with them? And it says in Mark chapter 6, "Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' So when they went away by themselves in a boat, they came to a solitary place." They were alone. This is to get rest. This is physical restoration. You know, I've had to rest lately by force. Any of you who have followed my life and ministry the last few months know I mentioned in the last couple of studies I've had three surgeries, and the doctors always say, "Now go home and rest." It's very difficult for me to do. And in fact, there's a verse in Psalm 23, you know, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know the chapter. It says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." That verse came alive to me in the hospital. He makes me lie down.
That's Skip Heitzig with the message, The Quarantined Life. Now, real quick, Skip wants to let you know about how your generous support can keep these faith-building messages coming to you.
Well, there's no doubt that these are interesting times that we live in, but they can become unnerving and unsettling, especially as we become more and more isolated from one another. More than ever, we need the truth and encouragement of God's Word to help give us God's perspective when the temptation can be to embrace fear and anxiety more aggressively. Here at Connect with Skip Heitzig, we believe that God has called us to help encourage and equip you in such a time as this. We have messages and resources on our website at connectwithskip.com and on our mobile app. And as we continue to send out teaching of God's Word around the world, it's more important than ever that we don't have to pull back on our ministry because of finances. Your gift today will help us continue to deliver God's Word to you and others in this new remote environment that we find ourselves in. You can call 800-922-1888 or you can visit us at connectwithskip.com to give your gift today. Thank you for standing with us in these times.
Thank you, Skip. Tune in tomorrow as Skip Heitzig encourages you to set aside the busyness, constant noise, and security of this world and to put your trust in God.
Have you said, "Man, I wish I had more time to read the Bible. Man, I wish I had more time to pray. Man, I wish I had more time to read that book." Now you got the time. So use it. Use it.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.